This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We alter your locus aurelius by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain to a toasty and tasty 365 degrees Fahrenheit to keep a sin flood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it? Is it working, Ben? Can you feel it?
I can feel it, Lou.
Excellent, excellent. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. So how you doing, Ben? I haven't talked to you in quite a while.
It's been a while. It's been a while since we did a show together or anything, but it's been a while since we talked.
Yeah.
Where go ahead.
Where's the mystery mobile this week?
We're tootling around on the Redneck Riviera, the stretch between Mobile, in the greater Mobile to Pensacola area, going all the way north up into the areas just south of Montgomery, Alabama, which is really interesting. Here's a real super short story that interests nobody whatsoever, which is always great to have on the radio. We were at a campground a few days ago, and it was karaoke night at the local campground, and we were there a couple weeks. So karaoke night was on the same, I think it was Saturday night each week. And I noticed a pattern by the second karaoke night. And it starts off, you know, first off, there's no such thing. When you're at a campground and there's a lot of rednecks in the deep south like this, and there's alcohol flowing and there's music, there's no such thing as a stranger. Everybody there is your best friend. I mean, that's just the atmosphere that's going on. And my wife and I weren't actually over at the karaoke, but you could pretty much not be anywhere in the area and not hear it. But I started to notice a pattern. And first off, you know, the first couple karaoke songs as the night begins didn't have a lot of participation. And then there's a couple standard tearjerkers. And then, you know, as the alcohol begins to flow, more and more people loosen up a bit. And then you get to like the Sweet Home Alabama, and you get Coal Miner's Daughter, and all the kind of stuff like that that ends up being repeated at every karaoke in the South. And then when you hear what is that song? Eagles covered it, Seven Bridges Road. When that starts to come on, and it's kind of like a giant sing along for everybody. It's the big emotion point of the evening, and that's how they finish off the night. And the first night that I heard that, I didn't think much about it. And then I got thinking about, you know, how much emotion these locals were putting into this song as they were belting this thing out. And I did a quick internet lookup, and I found out that we were just literally a couple miles from the actual Seven Bridges Road that song was written about. So it was literally, you know, it's their claim to fame for that region, and that's why they were so attached to it. But it was pretty neat, just seeing that many people. And you see it, you know, whether we're talking about rednecks or whether you're in any other part of the country or anything else, when you start to get a lot of people and their whole goal is just to get together and have a good time, it's really rare that things turn nasty. Most of the time, if there's not cops or something interrupting it, or some political thing going on or whatever, it's generally a lot of fun.
Oh yeah, and I'm sure "Friends in Low Places" was sung a couple of times by Garth Brooks.
Yeah, that's probably one of the standards in there too.
Yeah, definitely obligatory. That is a neat little area down there. I was down there. Gosh, I can't remember what year it was. It was the year that the Redneck Riviera got lambasted by the hurricanes. I think Charlie, Francis, and Ivan went through there. Mm. So maybe that was, I don't know, about 2003, 2004, somewhere around there.
Could be.
I had gone down there in October for a little vacation. I stayed at a resort in just outside of Destin. It was actually Miramar Beach. And I really had a blast down there. I was down there in probably closer towards the end of October. And it was still warm. I got a suntan. My friends up in Detroit were freezing their buns off. And the humidity wasn't really too bad.
But I got a chance to go out and do a little, didn't do deep sea fishing, went out into the bay there, and we caught some redfish, and that was definitely a hoot. But the food was awesome, and I went down there by myself, but I don't think that I had any meals by myself except for the first one the night that I got down there, because I got in pretty late. I flew into Pensacola, and as I'm flying in, I'm looking at all the roofs of the houses that were torn off, but they had blue tarps on them, and I'm like, really? Up north, we use gray shingles. Down here, they use blue. And then as I got closer to the ground, I'm like, oh, wait a minute. Those aren't shingles. Those are tarps. Hey, wait a minute. What's going to happen at the place that I'm staying at? What's that going to look like? And it turned out that they just had like a couple of yucca plants get knocked over. Everything else was pretty good. Yeah, it was a very friendly people. And the folks that I met at the resort, like I said, the only meal I had by myself was when I got down there. The first night, and I got in real late, and I went to get like the Kentucky Fried Chicken drive-through or something like that, and got something in my room. But the next morning, I went down by the pool, and I'm walking around, and I see a couple down there, probably around my age, and you know, said hello, and you know, they introduced themselves, and they were from Alabama, North Alabama, and that is basically their playground. Like where I live right now is the playground for the people in Lower Michigan. You know, the up north, well, that's their version of up north, except it's down south. So people from Alabama and Mississippi, they go to Destin and along the Redneck Riviera.
You know, I really think it's an underappreciated area, this whole area down here, really. And not mostly people think of the Mobile to Pensacola strip, but really it's wider than that. It extends on both sides in both directions. And you get down into the area between Mobile and out, going out towards Mississippi, towards the name of the little town, Biloxi, between Mobile and Biloxi. And it's very little tourist activity. It's a lot of little fishing towns and little mom-and-pop stores. And it's just a really folksy, wonderful place down there. And hundreds of campgrounds just scattered all over the place. It's really unappreciated, I think, what kind of a vacationing opportunity. It sounds like a commercial for Alabama, but it's really not. It's just, you know, we have just been amazed at how friendly the people are and how diverse they are. And, you know, the amount of services and stuff that's available down here. And the amazing amount of stuff that you can get where people not only accept just cash, but expect cash. Because clearly, you know, there's a lot of commerce that's going on that the state of Alabama and the government in Washington, D.C. are not being told about. But it's a great culture, you know, and there's tons of, if you know where to look, you can find a lot of fresh seafood and fish and everything like that. But you can't it so much if you stay on the main highways and just go to the standard, national chain food places.
Right, right. And when I was down there, it was very beautiful, very scenic. The temperatures weren't too much for me, and that's one of my things is I don't deal well with heat and humidity. That's why I'm living up here in Bear Scat, just down the road from Rabbit Tusk, and across the river from Squirrel Attack. But it was definitely a very good time down there. There were a lot of neat activities, and this show is kind of going to be a advertisement, but not for Alabama, but for traveling.
Yeah.
And getting out and meeting people. And we're going to talk about the different festivals. We're going to talk about just some little things that are going on and share some of our experiences of traveling over the past few years. And with you, Ben, you've lived basically all across the country. You've covered a lot of ground in your time.
Oh, yeah. We got about 3 minutes before our first break, but so I'll try to squeeze this in. But, yeah, I have even before my wife and I bought the current motorhome that we have now, we're full-time RVers, and so we just kind of follow the seasons and move around. We still have our home in Ohio, and we, you know, that's where we get our mail, and we have to go there and spend a couple months every year just trying to take care of all the legal nonsense that you have to do to legally be in one place to fulfill all the nonsense with licensing and all the permission slips and everything. But essentially, we're on the road, and you know, we at one point, just a few months ago, we've been stationary here in southern Alabama for a while, but a few months ago, we had visited 25 states in 24 months. So that gives you an idea of the amount of traveling around we've done. But even before we bought this current motorhome that we had a previous motorhome prior to that, and we've had prior, you know, truck campers that we camped with, and we did a ton of tent camping. And we have gone all over, everywhere from, you know, Idaho, all over Nevada, California, Northern California, Southern California, the deserts in the Mojave Desert area, all over Arizona, New Mexico, Texas. You know, we have just, we have literally, in the course of the, what it'll be 35 years this year, will be our 35th wedding anniversary. And in that 35...
Congratulations.
Thank you. And in that 35 years, we have really seen a lot and had the opportunities with our kids to show them a lot of things. We had one situation where we were camping in northern Nevada, and we had a little truck camper that we could have gotten into in case of like a storm or something, but mostly we were tent camping with the with the pickup truck as support. And so we had three little tents out. And the kids were scattered between two tents, and then we had a third tent. And we were looking around. It wasn't time to actually make camp yet. We were kind of looking for a place to make camp. And we were in a really super rocky area of northern Nevada, just driving around in the wilderness, off-road, completely off-road, away from all highways and everything. And I was starting to get a little desperate because we couldn't find any place that wasn't just covered in rocks. And it's really difficult to set your tents up in rocks. And then we found this spot that was probably about 50 feet across, a big circle almost, that was about 50 feet across with no rocks at all. It was nice, smooth, just dirt. No plants growing, nothing, just nice, smooth dirt. And so we got in there, got the pickup truck in there, got the tents all set up, and about dusk, we figured out why there were no rocks, because a large herd of wild Mustangs had been bedding down there at night, and they had worked to move those rocks out of the way. And now I talked into the into our break. We didn't get to our real topic. So, folks, stick with us. We're going to go away to the free market. We'll be right back after this.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
And welcome back to the Freedom Fiends. This is Lou, and I'm joined today by Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker. Welcome back, Ben.
Hey, Lou.
Did you have anything else to cover on your story of the wild Mustangs moving rocks so that you could camp out? Did they come back and they say, hey, get off our property?
They actually walked right through the middle of our camp and looked at us like they couldn't figure out what we were and what we were doing there. And we just all kind of froze and sat still. And they just walked around us and then sort of worked their way down. We were kind of on a little bit of a hill, and they worked them their way down into a little bit of a valley that was down there. And it was, I guess it was kind of like a backup spot or something like that. It was really kind of interesting. It was too late for... If I would have been able to, we would have packed up and let them have their spot back. But it was already too late, and you know, there was nothing I could do about it. And it was clear that they had backup plans, you know, the way that they acted. So it didn't disrupt them too bad.
That would have been awful neat to be, you know, just sitting out there, sitting around the campfire and having these horses walking around your tents and everything, you know, or waking up in the morning and seeing them there, you know, as you're eating breakfast. I mean, how often does that happen? That's not one of those regular everyday occurrences. You wake up and you have wild horses running around, you know, your campsite. Usually it's just raccoons and bear and deer and stuff like that.
Yeah. When we were in northern Nevada, we saw quite a bit of Mustangs. At the time, where in the areas that we were, there was a pretty large population of them, and they have very little fear of humans. So they did come in, even in the towns. Like, we lived in Reno for a little while during the 90s, and the Mustangs would come into the edge of town, into people's yards, and eat their grass and bite apples off their trees and fight in their yards and things like that. It got a little disruptive. Some of the locals didn't appreciate it too much. But in camping, most of the time that we saw Mustangs, you would see them at a distance of a couple hundred yards. And they wouldn't really make any effort to hide themselves. They just really were pretty disinterested with us because most of their interactions with humans were, you know, the humans were not aggressive. So they didn't pay us much mind. That was the only time they really actually came right into our camp and walked around. They literally walked right between the tents and looked at us like, "What are you people doing here?"
They didn't go into your camp. They went into their camp.
Yeah, exactly.
You guys jumped their claim.
That's probably what they were thinking. Where are the police here, when you need them, right?
Yeah. Yeah. We got horse thieves out here. But anyway, yeah, up here in northern Michigan, we don't have wild horses, wild Mustangs or anything like that. At least not that I know of. I don't think that they are. But it's quite common for bear, particularly in the spring, to go into the campgrounds. And, well, go anywhere looking for food because they're fresh out of hibernation and a lot of the berries haven't started blooming yet. So, I mean, they're going wherever. And normally they'll go and they'll hit the dump because the dump is, you know, that's their buffet. So they're going to go out there and they can start eating and put their weight back on and you know, get back to normal. When I was probably about 8 or 9 years old, and this is one of my first times here in the Upper Peninsula, I came up here on a vacation with my father to go steelhead fishing. And the dumps were closed. The state of Michigan Department of Fish and Hogs or Do Nothing Right, you know, Department of Destroying Natural Resources, whatever you want to call them. I think it was their brilliant idea to shut down the dumps. So when the bears came out of hibernation, there's no food. So naturally, that you know, they start looking around and they wind up in the campgrounds. So my first experience with a bear, I was probably about 8 or 9 years old, and we had one of those old metal Coleman coolers. You remember those things? Oh, I know, yeah, they're all made of plastic, but this is the old metal one, so it's heavy duty. And this bear, this black bear, just was swatting at it with those big giant claws. You should have seen the marks that were in the side of that thing. I mean, it was just tearing that thing apart. So it goes in there and it grabs some sandwiches that my mother had made up, and you know, it took a couple bites out of it, and you know, just left tooth marks in the plastic and into the bread and everything else. And to be honest with you, I didn't think those sandwiches were too hot either. But anyway, and then I'm looking at the bear sticking its paw into a box of Cheez-Its. He's sticking his hand in there. And he's you know, throwing Cheez-Its in his mouth, and he's spilling them all over the place. And then he's, you know, bending down and you know, gobbling them up off the ground. And I'm like, that darn bear's eating my food. That's not cool.
Looks like an NFL fan there doing that.
Oh, pretty much, yeah.
And we're going to green bait. We're going to head out to the free market again. Have a chance for the market to pay our bills. And we'll be right back with more truth on the Freedom Fiends Radio.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been using Block It Pocket and I love it. Block It Pocket protects your cell phone, tablet, or laptop from remote tracking and data theft. I've tested it. It works. Put your cell phone inside, call from another phone, and the phone in the Block It Pocket won't ring because all signals in and out are blocked. Avoid calls and texts at the wrong moment. Keep your location private. Protect passports and credit cards. Water-resistant, hand-washable, and stylish in many designs. Go to blockitpocket.com. That's blockitpocket.com.
And welcome back to the Freedom Fiends. Fueled by oxygen. This is Lou, and I'm joined by Ben Stone, the Bag Quaker. And for those of you in the places only get our weekend shows, go to freedomfiends.com and catch up on that little inside joke there. But yeah, we're talking about Northern Michigan here, and I am now living in the UP, and this is something that I've really wanted to do for a good many years.
That's Upper Peninsula. I've been coming up here.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah. I have to remember that not everybody knows about that. Yeah, there's actually two Michigans for some silly reason. You have the Lower Peninsula that looks like a mitten, and you have the Upper Peninsula that looks like a billy goat. But the Upper Peninsula is a very beautiful place. It's very rural and rustic in many cases. You don't have a lot of big cities up here, and probably... there's a few cities that might hit around 20,000 or so, but they're very few and far between. A lot of these towns, like the one I'm in, is about 2,000 people, something like that. A couple towns over is about 7,600, something like that. And that's considered a pretty big area. What's really funny is you got the main drag that goes through town, and pretty much that's about it. You'll have a couple blocks of houses with maybe some small stores and shops out in there. But for the most part, what you see on the main drag, in a lot of cases, that's it. Like the town that I'm in, it has a grocery store, a couple bar and grills, but not even like a family restaurant, family diner type thing. Not even a Greasy Spoon like Coney Island or anything like that. So, yeah, it's... The seclusion is nice, but the seclusion is very real, because to go to a Best Buy takes me almost 2 hours, something like that.
Wow.
So a lot of the stores I'm used to going to, and, you know, to go there in 10, 15 minutes, now it's like 2 hours, and you kind of take that thing, that type of thing for granted when you're living in civilization. I like shopping at Gordon Foods or going to a Sam's Club or something like that. And yeah, that's... close to 2 hours to hit either one of those places.
We had that to a certain extent when we lived in Southern California. For a while, my wife and I lived kind of way out in the Mojave Desert, and we were a couple of hours away from anything. But that was, you know, kind of different. You know, being dry and being the desert, that's about the opposite of the Upper Peninsula up there.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, it gets a lot of snow up here. And some of the differences that I'll run into is in the morning as I'm driving into town to go to work, instead of hearing the regular police report, I'll hear the Coast Guard report of how some fishermen got stranded out on Lake Superior, and the Coast Guard had to go out there and push ice out of the way so that they could get their boat out. Or maybe somebody was ice fishing and... the hunk of ice that they were on started drifting off, but that happens downstate too. There's some guys that always wind up getting stranded out on the ice, out on Lake St. Clair, Lake Erie. I remember one time these guys were being interviewed, and they says, "Man, same thing happened to us last year. I can't understand why this keeps happening to us."
Yeah, that's
kind of like the...
Go ahead.
It's the Forrest Gump version of being stranded on the Great Lakes.
You're not going to hear that story in Southern Alabama, I can assure you.
Oh, no, no. Matter of fact, when they get like a half inch of snow down in Southern Alabama, that's when they start raiding the grocery stores and stocking up on milk, bread, toilet paper, Twinkies, you name it, everything.
Yeah, we were down here last winter. Let's see, that would have been winter of 2013 going into 2014. And actually, Mobile Bay got ice on Mobile Bay, and the bridges that cross Mobile Bay ended up getting iced on them. And Mobile's, the city of Mobile's way of handling it was they just shut everything down. I mean, they just like said, okay, everything's closed, nobody go anywhere. And they didn't even try, you know, to clear the roads or anything. Atlanta, Georgia, had the opposite procedure, which was to just panic and you know, attempt to try to control everything in a full government, full-blown government way, which was a complete disaster. But Mobile just solved the problem by putting up roadblocks, you know, at each end. You can't come in, can't go out, everything's closed. Whatever you thought was important is not important. Do it tomorrow. And everybody took the day off. It was really cool.
Yeah. I don't know if they have snow days up here. I mean, there are days that there's a lot of snow, but I don't think 6 to 12 inches bothers anybody. But you know, I have been wanting to come up here for quite a long time, and I was fortunate enough to pick up a contract job up here. So it's a short-term gig. I don't know how long exactly I'm going to be up here. I'm scheduled to go through the end of September, I think it is. And I don't know if it'll get extended or if I'll get picked up permanently, or if they're just going to say, well, thanks for coming up here, and well, good luck at the next spot. So the way I look at it, I have 5 months to get out and enjoy the things that I've wanted to enjoy for a long time, because I'm pretty well familiar with the Upper Peninsula. I've never been this far west, though. But I have a camping trip for the Porcupine Mountains that's on my schedule, maybe doing a few things in Wisconsin. There's a lot of great fishing and hiking and camping to be done, and that's my big thing. So I've gone out and I've done a little bit of local exploring. I haven't had too much time to get out just yet because there's a lot of snow up here, and it keeps me out of a lot of the places I want to go to. But just on the local exploring, I've gone out and I've taken a bunch of pictures and posted them on Facebook, and it's amazing. People don't think of Michigan as having mountains, and the Porcupine Mountains are—they're not the Rockies by any stretch. But from what I understand, it is pretty good mountain area, and just going along a lot of the border between Wisconsin and Michigan is divided by rivers. There was one spot that I went to not too far from my place, and there's this beautiful cliff, probably a few hundred feet tall, and it comes down, and then you got a little, you know, bottom area there, and then you have this big, giant, wide river. And when I got out there and I saw it the first time, because I was just out exploring, I said, well, I have never been to Wisconsin in my lifetime, and I'm maybe 10 minutes away. I guess maybe it's time to go check it out. So I did. And it was just absolutely gorgeous. I stood there for probably about 20 minutes just staring at it and taking pictures of the river, the side of the cliff, and you know, watching some of the waterfowl that was swimming around and flying around. And it was very peaceful and serene. Wow. And yeah, really enjoyed that.
Cool. We've got some satellite dropout that we're dealing with here. So audio is kind of going back and forth a little bit, but we're going to try to work through it as best we can. But go ahead, Lou.
Okay. There's another place I went to. It was last Sunday, and it's on the same river, but it's a few miles down. And there's these, they call them piers, but it's not like something that goes out into the river that you stand on and fish off of and, you know, tie your boat to. It's actually rapids. So there's here in Michigan, and there's a handful of these different sections, and one of them is you got this nice little drop off, and then the water just really racing through there. I mean, it's the water is very, very dark because of the iron ore, so it's a reddish brown, but you have the white of the rapids mixed with the reddish browns, so it makes a really beautiful color. And I got some video of it, and I posted it on Facebeef. But yeah, I just absolutely amazing, and that's on the new list. So out of my 5 months remaining that I have here, give or take, I'm going to act as if, you know, every spare minute must be used properly and take plenty of pictures. And I don't know if I'm going to put together like a video at the end or whatever, but I want to do something to show all the different things that I hit up here.
Also,
now, you were saying that you and Cindy have never been to the UP.
Yeah, we've spent a little time driving around in, you know, in the lower peninsula. Specifically, was it year before last, we went up for the Peace and Liberty, what was that called? The Peace and Liberty.
Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest.
Yeah, that was it. And we had a lot of fun at that. We didn't actually stay at the venue where the thing was taking place. We'd gotten confused and ended up getting campground reservations at a nearby campground. So we had to drive back and forth. That was kind of a pain. But so we missed a bunch of the activity. But it was still really neat. And that whole we spent a couple weeks driving around the lower peninsula of Michigan, looking at things over and staying in campgrounds. And it was really pretty nice up there. I actually thought the lower peninsula was a lot more You know, I was thinking Detroit. That was my view of what I expected Michigan to be like. And I was really pleasingly surprised at it.
Yeah, once you get outside of Detroit, it's actually a very pleasant state to go around. And there's a lot of really nice scenery. And tourism has been a large industry here, and I think that people of Michigan would do well to concentrate on that. The fishing here is amazing. The hunting, camping, they got a lot to work with, and they didn't have to build it. And as a matter of fact, government didn't build it either. You know, nature did.
And hey, it's kind of odd. We got a couple minutes before the break here. I guess about three minutes before the break. If you can fit it in, and we were talking during the last break about the oddity of that being two states. I mean, about it being one state and not two states.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So, as I said earlier, Michigan is in two parts. You have the mitten and you have the billy goat. And how it wound up being all the same state, I have no idea. Is the two peninsulas are connected by the Mackinac Bridge. And the Mackinac Bridge wasn't built until, I want to say, somewhere in the 50s. I can't remember if it was 53 or 58. But my father's first trip up here was the year before that the bridge was built. So back then, you had to go up to Mackinac City and wait for the ferry to take you over there. And if there was a long line, you could literally wait all day and probably through the night to be able to get out there. Well, on my way up here on this last trip on the move, I was able to meet up with a buddy of mine, and he got this idea for reviving the Free State of Superior project. It was some secessionist movement that took place back in the 70s or something like that, and the goal was to have the Upper Peninsula and part of the Lower Peninsula and part of Wisconsin secede from Michigan and Wisconsin.
We'll have to get back with more of that.
That's a great idea.
We'll have to get more with that when we come back from the break. We're going to go visit the free market on Freedom Fiends.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
LRN.FM needs your help getting our satellite signal back on in Africa. Our satellite provider had us on at no charge from 2012 through February of this year when they pulled the channel off the air. Now we're trying to raise $22,000 to continue reaching people with the message of liberty in places where it's needed most. Please visit our Indiegogo fundraiser at africa.lrn.fm. Give what you can and share the link with your friends. africa.lrn.fm.
Freedom Fiends on the radio.
Oh, yeah. So anyway, in the last segment, I started talking about the Free State of Superior Project, and it's a secessionist plan to have the Upper Peninsula of Michigan separate from or secede from the Lower Peninsula and have part of Wisconsin secede from the rest of Wisconsin. And I told my buddy Chad, I says, you know what, that's really a great idea. I hope you're successful. I hope you can pull it off. Because if you do, I'm going to move up there, and the very first thing I'm going to do after I unpack is I'm going to secede from your new project. And he got a kick out of that, because he's a lot more like us than them, that's if you know cool. What I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but real nice guy. I got an opportunity to have brunch with him on my way up here during the move, and we said we've actually met before, but we were never introduced. This was back when I was still had a little bit of hope for Ron Paul, you know, going out there and doing his thing and restoring the republic and getting us back to the Constitution and
giving us
he
a
and I were
leash.
Both on stage. Yeah, yeah, woof woof. We're both on stage at Ron Paul event in Central Michigan University, I think it was. So all I know is it was a ways away from Detroit, and I got a chance to go on stage, and I thought that was pretty cool. But yeah, I've grown up and I've gone past that. I understand that he is a man, not a god.
Yeah, that was hard for a lot of people to accept, and especially when, you know, their dreams didn't come true, and whether 2000, what was it, 8 or 2012, and it just didn't work out the way they had hoped. But yeah, he is just a man. He's just, you know, a lot of people are really wrapped up in the next election. What's going to happen in the next election? Is Rand Paul going to do it? Is it going to, you know, dude, he's just a person. He's a human being. He's no different than any. He's not a great man at all.
Yeah, and to be honest, who cares? Let's get back to talking about Michigan and Wisconsin.
Yeah, camping's more fun than talking about thugs anyway.
Yeah. So anyway, I live on the Wisconsin border of Michigan and Wisconsin. And what's really interesting is it's these two different states, but like in the town where I work, a lot of the people that work there live in Wisconsin. And some of the people that live in the town that I work, they work in Wisconsin. And when you go across the bridge, the houses look the same. They got the same type of trees. The river doesn't look a whole lot different from their side. They speak the same language. They have the same silly youper Canadian to the extreme accent. And the only real difference is the cattle brands that they have on their vehicles to show which tax farm they belong to. But what's really amazing is, you know, to go and live over there, you've got to get all new paperwork. You got to get all new licenses and permits and dog tags and all that other stuff. And it's just really, really crazy that all this stuff happens. And I'm probably not too far from Minnesota. I haven't really looked at the map and explored that far yet, but I think I, you know, just shoot up through Michigan, and I think I cut through Wisconsin a little bit. I don't think Michigan borders Minnesota. I think there's a little tiny patch of Wisconsin that I have to go through to get there. But I mean, I could go to Wisconsin, you know, it's another tax farm, but you know, they talk funny there too. They got the same type of cars and all that other stuff. So I really don't understand this. And also, I'm not even that far from Canada, which they definitely talk funny there. And they have the same type of cars and the same type of trees. And I really don't understand this whole border thing. I've never lived this close to a state line before, and it's just absolutely perplexing the living daylights out of me. Somebody help me out. Help me make sense with this.
It really is crazy. The campground that we're in now, my wife and I have a little dog with us, and we have to take the dog out walking a couple times a day to make sure she can do all her little business, you know. And as we were out walking today, some new campers have pulled in their real nice RV that they had pulled in, and they were getting everything all hooked up, you know, and there's a lot of camaraderie and a lot of joking around and a lot of friendliness among RV people. And so, you know, it's like, oh, you're almost hooked up. It's almost beer time, and ha, 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 you know. And I looked over, and I saw you had South Dakota plates, and I'm like, oh, you're from the Dakotas. And he says, no, we're from Pennsylvania, but the way that they do it, there's a service in South Dakota that you can get driver's license and driver's vehicle license through, and get your mail through cattle brand. Exactly, that's what it is. And so there's all this scheming ways of getting around it at all. We're going to break away and get out to the market right now. You're going to hear some news. It's probably going to upset you. But hang in there. Stick with us. Come back after the break. And we're going to be right here to soothe your mind and calm the hamster in your brain with the Freedom Fiends.
The Warm and Fuzzies. Worms.
The Central Scrutinizer is a Soviet-style Leviathan trying to keep track of all you do. That's why I use a VPN, or virtual private network, from Bola VPN. Bola VPN is inexpensive, secure, and will allow you to use your computer without leaving a trail. Bola VPN is now also offering torrent seed boxes for safely sharing media with the world. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them from the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
Socialist instinct, and he puts the execution range.
for an executive branch. Not the same difference. But anyway.
Yeah, so, yeah. Big announcement coming up. And I've been waiting to drop this bit of mad scientist. The third annual Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest will be hosted by the Michigan Peace and Liberty Coalition this August 7th through the 10th. And that will be held once again at the Circle Pine Center in Delton, Michigan, just outside of Kalamazoo. And we're pretty excited about this. Last year was a really good event. We had a lot more people than we had at the first one. Unfortunately, you and Cindy weren't able to make it out last year.
Yeah, we didn't make it.
But you made it out to the first one. So let's talk about the first one and then build on up to the second and third.
Well, the first one was a lot of fun.
Yeah, and that was actually my first real Liberty event ever.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, because I'd never been to Pork Fest and never been to any of the other things out there. This was my real first Liberty event, and I had just a few months before met my first bunch of Liberty people. For a while, I was just wandering around lost in the desert of statism.
We had a lot of fun at that festival. It was very... somebody might criticize it by calling it disorganized, but it wasn't really disorganized. It was more spontaneous. It was very open and very... It was not regimented, let's put it that way, which I really liked the feel of that. I had... Prior to that, I'd been to a few different things, Pork Fest and some other things like that. And, the regimentation of lots of these things is a real turnoff for me. I'm not going to tell anybody don't go to any particular function like that, but that's what turns me away from going to some of the more mainstream liberty-oriented events is that they, I just look at them and I think, man, I don't want to sit there and listen to some guy from the Cato Institute talk for an hour. That's like, why would I do that? Especially if there's a lake nearby. But that was not at all what we had in Michigan. What was that? 2013, I think. It was just a lot of
fun. It was.
And some great people. I met a lot of great people up there. And it was a pretty small group at that time. I guess last year you guys had a pretty good crowd going, didn't you?
I think we nearly doubled the number from the first year to the second year.
Cool.
So, yeah, it was definitely a large crowd. The first year is definitely hard to top that with that being the first event. Like, if I were to go to Pork Fest this year, and I really don't think I'm going to be able to go, the chances are slim to none. I doubt if I'd be able to top my first Pork Fest being last year. But with the first Liberty Fest that we had, it was very relaxed. It wasn't disorganized. It was, come as you are and do as you wish. Now, there were some of the adults that have children, they organized some kid activities, and they, took the kids out to, do some artwork and play around in nature and things like that. So, and the kids had stuff to do, and there was a local guy who's also a Fiend fan. He brought his two boys out and we did some fishing down by the lake. And it was really nice that you could just, get up when you wanted to, do what you wanted to do during the day. If you wanted to go for a bike ride, there were bike trails. There was hiking trails. They had kayak rentals down by the lake. It's not like there wasn't anything to do whatsoever. You had a lot of options. And rather than having the discussion groups where, it starts at a certain time and you got the director saying, okay, places everybody, action. People just tended to congregate naturally and get into discussions sitting around a fire pit, sitting at a picnic table. Maybe a couple people got together under the big tent to get some shade. But and you just had all these really neat, interesting conversations going on. And how do you beat that?
I think if I was going to have a criticism of Pork Fest, and I've been to several Pork Fests, and I really like Pork Fest, By the way, Porkfest is open now. They're not open, but they're open for selling tickets, so you can get your tickets by going there now. I don't know if the discount is still on or not, but anyway. But if I had a criticism of Porkfest, having really experienced it a few times and really I like Porkfest, and my wife likes it there, and my kids have gone there and they love it there. But if I could just use a magic wand and change something, I would change it more like the one that we had in Michigan, in the sense that, you know, all of the regimented stuff that was happening at Porkfest in the tents and on the stages and all that, I know that has a purpose and everything, but what was happening away from those tents out in the main part of the campground where, you know, what was the Agorist Valley? No, the what was it called? The
Agora Valley.
Agora Valley, yeah. And even up in the tent area where you were camping and a bunch of the folks were camping up there where all the tents were, that was really where all the action was. And that was where all the fun was happening at, you know?
Yeah, that's how it was for me, because the only things that and the only events that I went to were when you and Michael were speaking, or you were speaking, and then you and I did a panel on podcasting and radio with Chandler and Mark from Free Talk Live. So I obviously went to that.
Yeah.
And then Bill Buper's stuff. But I don't think that I caught any other presentations. I mean, I might have caught bits and pieces of it, but I mean, the only ones that I actually sat through were, you know, Fiend related.
I don't think we're going to go this year. I really, kind of like what you said, I can't imagine the circumstances where the money would be available and where the time would be available. And I just can't possibly see how it could work out. But if we ever go back to Porkfest again, I doubt that I'll even do anything at all with regards to the speaking and all that. I think we'll just go strictly as a camping adventure and stay in the camping part of the event and not even get down there where the big stuff is taking place. You know, I would go into Agora Valley and interact with people there, but I don't think I'd have any desire to go on down, because, you know, it is so much fun. It's not that one is bad and the other is good. It's that, you know, if there's a steak on your plate, then who's going to walk away from that to go get some hamburgers, you know? As much as you might like hamburgers in a different setting, there's a steak. Why would you go get a hamburger? And that's kind of the way it is at things like that, where you have something that is so free and natural and spontaneous as what's happening in the whole rest of the campground. But that's just my opinion.
Yeah.
You know, there's people that love those lectures and things, and that's perfectly fine for them to like that. So it's all your, you know, individual taste. How's the one in Michigan planning for this year? How are they planning on that happening?
Well, we're still in the planning phase, and there is a registration for it, but it's not on the website, at least not that I can find. So I will throw a link to the registration into the show notes, and people can go to it from this show. So go to freedomfiends.com, and I will find out what's going on with the website and getting the registration on there. But this year, it's going to be pretty loose again. Last year, we did have scheduled speakers. There were people that wanted to come out, and they scheduled in advance for what they were going to do. There is not quite the variety that you'll get at a pork fest, but it's more of a intimate discussion. I guess you could kind of say that, you know, the speaker is leading the discussion, but, you know, it's more than just a lecture.
Yeah,
which, you know, some of the pork fest events are. But I don't even think I went to any of those either last year. I was too busy cooking and wandering around and things like that. But Will Coley was out there last year, and I had met him at Porkfest a couple months before, and he set up shop and was preparing his food out there. And let me tell you something, Will Coley's cooking is a reason to come to Liberty Fest if he's coming this year, or go to Porkfest if he's going to that. I mean, he made this duck egg stew that literally knocked my socks off. I was just beside myself with it. That's how good it was. And he's just such a great guy to chat with. Probably my favorite thing with Porkfest, and also with the Liberty Fest too, is meeting all these people that I've never met before, and maybe on Facebook friends with them or something like that. But, you know, I and I really don't want to name names because I don't want to leave anybody out, but you know, I met Jim Babb at the last Pork Fest and had an opportunity to sit around the campfire with him and talk to him and his family and some other folks. And then he came on the Fiends for the last day when you and I were doing the final show, and he carried us because we were falling asleep because we were so burned out after that week. You know, and also meeting Matt Roach, who was operating one of the food stands in Agoura Valley, and just so many other people. Brian Hagan was a real treat to meet. I really got along great with him, and he is just absolutely hilarious. And he will get you rolling and laughing like you wouldn't believe. And he does the Liberty Beat report.
Yeah.
So, but meeting all these people, and one of the nice things since I moved up to the UP is I've had a couple of invites to. From people that are living down in Milwaukee area. There's a gal that lives outside of Chicago, and she comes up to this area for her vacations. So hopefully I'll get a chance to meet her. There's a gal coming out here to visit her mother sometime in the summer. And I think that woman lives in Oregon or something like that. And her husband are going to come out here, and she invited me to stop up there for dinner. So I mean, it's really neat meeting people at these festivals or meeting them on the internet and then getting an opportunity to meet them in real life and spend time with them. I mean, it's just really amazing the people that I've met and how much I've enjoyed it.
You know, I think that's the real treat of going to anything like this. Nima was on the Freedom Fiend show the other day. Did you catch when Nima was on?
No, I am so far behind with my shows. I think Michael's going to put me on suspension again.
Well, he had mentioned the thing in Acapulco and how so much of it was just spontaneous and on the beach, and far less of it was in our fun. Well, there's our music. We're going to head off to the market again, take a little break, and try to sell some stuff. And we'll be right back with more Freedom Fiends on the radio.
Listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Are you sick of government lackeys who say you didn't build that? Are you tired of elitists like Barack Obama and Al Gore taking credit for the web while trying to take over the web? Are you disgusted by experts whose concept of the internet is that it's a series of tubes? Take back the free market of computing by encouraging software developers to adopt the BIPCOT NoGov license. The BIPCOT NoGov license allows any use or modification except by governments. Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Antiwar, pro-free market. That's Antiwar.com.
Hey Lou, we're back.
Hey, welcome back to the Freedom Fiends. This is Lou, and I'm joined with Ben Stone, the bearded Quaker, the bad possum. What is your wrestling name?
On the internet, I'm the bad Quaker, but on the Freedom Fiends, I'm the bearded possum. Because we all have silly little names
and
like
I
that.
Am, yeah, and I am the titanium meerkat, the chop shop rooster, the leashless Labrador, and on special request, longer leash Lou for when I do my limited government mini status bits. But yeah, it was really neat meeting people at Porkfest and these other events. On the way home from Porkfest, I had an opportunity to meet Dan McLaughlin, and he is one of my very first interwebs friends from Face Beast. And I got a chance to stop by there and have lunch with him and his wife. I had my buddy Tom with me, and it was really great to finally meet this person that I had so many internet conversations with. And you know, get a chance to have lunch with him and his wife and just talk and shoot the bull. And, you know, he's a really interesting guy. He's written a few articles for Mises.org. He went over to work with Kofi on the African Youth Peace Call Project. And to hear his stories of that, and they made him an honorary chief, so I got a chance to see him in his honorary chief robes, that was a real special treat. So great guy, and I was hoping to meet up with Jamin and Karen on the way back, but I was directionally challenged, and we didn't have time to go from Dan's place in New York down to their place in Pennsylvania, because that would have put us there like pretty late in the evening, and we wouldn't have even had time to get home. We could have stopped by, said hello, and then got back in the truck and taken off if we wanted to get home at a reasonable time. But I did get a chance to meet them a few months later. One of my friends from the Michigan Peace and Liberty Coalition, Joe, and I, we went down there and got a chance to meet them. And you've chatted with them, but you haven't met them, right?
No, I've met them at Pork Fest, and I think Jamin was at the Michigan thing, wasn't he?
No, he hasn't been to Michigan yet.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so just Pork Fest. But they're great people. I mean, both of them, they're just wonderful people.
Yeah, and really interesting, too. I got a kick out of seeing how the permaculture thing works, because when you look at the yard, you take a look at it, and you say, oh, my God, what a mess you got. All this stuff thrown together, and it looks like somebody just, you know, took a bunch of seeds, threw them to the wind and said, here, have at it. But as you're going through, and Karen really loves to do the explanation on things, and she'll get mad at Jamin if he goes and, you know, tells all the stories about it. She'll tell you how this particular plant works best with this particular vegetable that's growing, and how it keeps bugs away, and how it will help fertilize the soil. And, you know, this particular flower, yeah, it's real pretty, but it also tastes like radishes, and you can put it on salad. And they were kind enough to send me home with some fresh vegetables and flowers to throw on the salad. And it was really neat. And they also had some baby piglets, some bacon seeds that were running around. They had just been born fairly recently. Yeah. Yeah, so I mean, they're keeping pigs out there. They got chickens and a couple ducks running around, and I mean, just really friendly people, really interesting, and a lot of fun to hang out with. And you know, I'm hoping to see them at the upcoming Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest this coming August 7th through 10th.
I'm not sure if we're going to make it or not. We're really trying to move heaven and earth to get up to Michigan this summer. I'm not sure if it's going to happen. We keep having auto breakdown issues that are costing more and more money. So I talked to my wife today about it, and she says, you know, we're going to make it. I said, we don't know that. We just, you know, there's so many obstacles. How are we going to do all this? And she was very positive about it. And there's a double motivation here. Not only do we want to get to the Michigan thing for all the fun and everything that goes on with it, but we have a grandson that's just about 2 hours south of there. So, you know, we have a great motivation to get to Ohio to see our grandson this summer. And that kind of a motivation for a grandmother carries a lot of weight. So for my own mental and physical health, it's best if we figure out a way to get to Ohio so that we can get to Michigan. But we got about 30.
I think I can.
We got about 30 seconds before the break. But anything you want to toss in before we go out to the market?
Yeah, it's really great to meet these internet friends, and like meeting you at the first Liberty Fest and meeting Michael and the rest of the fiends at Pork Fest. It's not just meeting them because they're the fiends, meeting you because you're the bag lady. It's, you know, meeting friends and people that you can just sit down and talk about fishing with or computers or anything.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Hey, this is Squisklar Squiggles from Death Clocks, and you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now, so there you go.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech as hate speech, guns and weed,
buy sheep for sheep on sheep,
and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists.
It's only $10 for 10 buttons, including shipping.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
This is here at the Travel Channel.
All travel, all the time.
Yeah, we've been talking about travel today, and we've been talking about the different Liberty events are out there. And I want to highlight a couple that have happened in the past. I wasn't able to get to either of these, but my understanding is there was a Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest out in Nebraska last year. And theoretically, I might be close enough to get to something like that this year. I don't know. I don't know if it's going to be happening, but that's something to keep your eyes out for if you're out in middle America. Last year, at the time of our Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest in August, there was a Agris Festival up in Minnesota. I'm not really sure exactly where it was, but I think Minnesota's close enough for me to get to it if it's happening again this year. But one thing that I do know for sure that's happening is Anarchy on the Allegheny. And this is taking place in, it looks like, Warren, Pennsylvania is the location of it. I think that's a starting point. And the description on it is, this is a spontaneous order event for kayak, canoe, boat camping trip approximately 35 miles down the Allegheny River from the general area of Warren, Pennsylvania to Tionesta, Pennsylvania during the fourth weekend of May 2015. There is no concrete plan for this event, so spontaneous order. This is an open forum for any individuals to spontaneously plan any type of meetup, boating, and or camping trip, etc. Please feel free to use the below posting and comment section to add your own plans or to join up with the others. So, I mean, it sounds like they're just, you know, putting together, hey, we're going to meet here, and, you know, if you want to ride with us down the river, you know, take your canoe. And that is something that I would love to be able to go to, but I'm just not going to be able to do it this year because I'm not going to have the time, and it's also an extra 8 or 9 hours further away than what it would have been because I live up in Bearscat now. But I mean, this is something that I would really like to do, and hopefully I could do something here because I do have a lot of things on the calendar. I will waste no weekends. And of course we do have the Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest, which will be happening August 7th through 10th, and I will put a link to both events in the show notes. So go to freedomfiends.com and you'll be able to check those out and get more information on them. And I'll put the registration link in for the Liberty Fest. This year, like I said, it's going to be at the Circle Pine Center again, and they have a really nice lake down there and beautiful beach and swimming area. They have kayaks and canoes that you can go out on, and there's no cost for that. And I think I'm pretty sure the pricing starts at like $50 for an adult. And that's for the entire weekend. That's your camping. That's the event. That is the canoes, kayaks, the sauna house down by the beach, the bonfires, all that other stuff. There's a lot of stuff thrown into that for $50. It's hard to beat that for a weekend for an adult. And there will be family pricing, so if you got a bunch of kids, that'll be a real good deal. So there's a friend of mine up here in the UP, and I finally met him after I'd been here for a week. And we're going to try and get him down there for that. He's got like 6 kids. So
cool.
But yeah, I mean, it's going to be a real good time. The spontaneous order tent will be set up again, and hopefully there will be a Freedom Fiends broadcast from the event again. And we had a lot of people come out from Chicago last year. Matter of fact, and this is the thing that really got me excited. There was a guy that was listening to the Saturday show, and Michael was talking about how the Liberty Fest was going on and everything. That evening or that afternoon, he got on his motorcycle and rode from just outside of Chicago to Liberty Fest with nothing but maybe a backpack or something like that.
Cool.
And he came out to check it out and hung out, you know, on Sunday and caught the radio show and came up, introduced himself. And it was a really neat thing for that.
That's pretty cool. Now, I've looked on the map, and I know there are campgrounds all around in that area. Is there a couple camping spaces at the location also?
Oh, at Circle Pines?
Yeah, fractional and stuff.
Okay, yeah, because my friends Paul and Lynn brought their RV out there last year, and there's a couple spots where people can connect and get electricity. There's not a whole lot for that. I don't think we've had a lot of people that were bringing out RVs, but I think we can facilitate two, maybe three RVs. There are some electric outlets, and we could probably run extension cords, but I don't know if like the traditional heavy-duty RV hookups will work on those.
Well, fortunately, where it's at there, you know, the locals might think it gets hot, but to a lot of Americans, Michigan summers are not that hot, you know?
So sometimes it can be, but it's nowhere near like Alabama.
Yeah, so you're not going to have the sweltering heat. Last August, we were in Branson, Missouri, which I thought, I'd never actually been to Branson, and I thought Branson is going to be far enough north to where it's not going to be too bad, you know, in August and in that time frame. And I learned a lesson. There's a reason why all of the stars in Branson shut their theaters down in August and go someplace else. Man, that was some of the hottest places. Of all the travels we've been, that was one of the hottest places we've been in the summer like that. And that's including Arizona, New Mexico. I mean, the temperature, we've been in the deserts when it was 110, 118, even 120 degrees, and it's pretty hot, especially if you can't find shade. It's deathly hot. But having it in the mid-90s with the humidity, you know, up like it is in southern Missouri, and you're at a pretty good elevation in the Smoky Mountains there, the heat was just oppressive. So compared to that, you know, Michigan, even the lower peninsula, Michigan's going to be pretty comfortable for us on its worst day.
Yeah, it was a little bit warm and humid when I first got there that very first night. So setting up my tent in the assault kitchen was a little bit rough. But the rest of the weekend was pretty darn good. It was warm, but it wasn't too humid because I can't handle humidity. So if it had been really humid, I would have been crying like a little girl with a skinned knee. But it's really nice, and there were a couple different areas for people to set their tents up in. There was the orchard, and it was an actual apple orchard. And a lot of people set up over there. Christian and Diana were set up over there. And they came out with their dog, Roxy. Dogs welcome, longer leashes required. But it was great to see them again. I think they're coming up again this year. The thing that Diana really loved about it was that it was more intimate than a Pork Fest type thing.
Yeah.
Because of the size. You had the main area where the bonfire pit was, and we called that the meadow. And then Randy and I were set up in like no man's land in between the orchard and the meadow on a trail. And
that's Joe and Nicole from Randy England, by the way.
Yeah. Joe and Nicole from upstate New York, they came out and they were set up right next to me.
They're
and,
cool people, and Nicole too. I really like them.
Yeah. Yeah. Nicole said that she heard snoring. I blamed it on Randy. And since he had left, I was able to get away with that. Where it theoretically possibly could have been me, but I'm not admitting to anything.
Well, if Randy didn't want to get blamed for it, he should have stuck around and defended himself, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And he doesn't own
his... Randy took a wonderful...
He doesn't own his reputation.
He did a wonderful video. Yeah, he did a wonderful video from the fest last year. And I'll throw that in the show notes, too. I mean, that was... I still watch that every couple months at least. And I'll show it to friends and say, hey, you know, this is what you missed out on last year. Don't miss it this year. And it's really gone a long ways to get people interested in coming out. So thank you for your video service, Randy.
You know, I think there's something, too, that a lot of people don't realize. I mean, there's a lot of activists that are out there holding signs or getting arrested or filming cops. And I'm not saying that that stuff's not important. That is not at all what I'm saying. But I think that in general, people don't realize how important it is to sit across the campfire with somebody and tell stories and talk and look them in the eye. And, you know, all that stuff is just as important as doing all the other stuff as well. We got disconnected there just for a split second. Are you back, Lou?
I hear you.
Cool. Okay.
Okay, we're back.
Yeah, but all right. So what I was saying there was that I think I don't have anything against, you know, activism and all that stuff. I'm saying that's all important. It's all good, but that personal one-on-one of seeing somebody and you know, touching their hand and knowing their presence, I think that's way more valuable than most people realize.
And sharing a meal with them.
Yeah. You know, that goes back to antiquity of the importance of breaking bread and sharing a meal with someone, because that's how you make these links. I mean, it's great to chat with somebody on Facebook or Twitter or whatever, but you're not really connected with somebody in a deep way unless you've sat with them and talked to them and shared with them. And, you know...
Yeah,
go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, there's other groups, too. Like, I was talking to Eddie Free about trying to get something going in Texas, because there's several Bitcoin conferences in Texas every year. But we were talking about trying to get some kind of get-together going there. Just a real informal thing, like what you guys do in Michigan. And I know the, what is it called? The Blue Ridge Mountain Liberty Project?
Blue Ridge Liberty Project down in Asheville.
Yeah, they have a similar thing going in the summer as well. So whichever one of those things you can get to, man, that's the way to go, is to really get in there and communicate with people who are, you know, not only like-minded, but are going through similar struggles.
Yeah, it's beautiful to have this liberty community, and I know it sounds a little bit goofy or cliche to say that, but I mean, that's really what it is. I mean, it's an extended family. It's a community of folks that maybe you can only see them once a year or twice a year at events like this, or maybe you go to somebody's house and visit with them for a little while. Or, I mean, my buddy Tom went down to Asheville and he met the folks from Blue Ridge because he was down there for work. So he took a little bit of time and stopped off and had some beers with them. I believe he's met them before.
And we're going to be right back.
Really nice.
We're going to be right back with more Freedom Fiends and Redemption in the Third Act right after this trip to the market. Stick with us, folks. Freedom Fiends.
Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty Talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
And welcome back to the Freedom Fiends. This is Lou, and I am up in Bearscat, Michigan, and Mr. Ben Stone is down in I don't know, somewhere, but...
in the swamps of Alabama.
Middle, Yeah, you're on the swamps of Alabama, and these two cans with a string that we have connected to the satellite have been giving us a little bit of trouble here, but we're going to survive because we're on Fiend Phone, and it can almost overpower the technological difficulties of the government satellites. But so, yeah, a little redemption in the third act, and I personally think the show has been all redemption all the time. The importance of these events and establishing these relationships and building this, and once again, I hate to use the word, but Liberty community, I just really find it invaluable. When I'm around the Liberty folks, and when I say the Liberty folks, I mean the stateless, not the mini statist, but the stateless. It just provides an energy and an exhilaration. It's like a... what was it that Christopher called it? It's like a group therapy rejuvenation session.
Yeah.
Because it really helps you to get your mind right and get things, you know, back in perspective and get a little happiness.
It really does. And during the break, we had mentioned I did a series on my podcast some time back called Going Beyond Disobedience. Going Beyond Civil Disobedience. And we had talked about in the break about talking about that, you know, it's important to make these connections because we may not always have the opportunity to have, you know, open internet connections and open phone calls. The way tyranny keeps getting worse and worse and worse, who knows what things are going to be like 5 years or 10 years from now. But if we make these connections in person and in real life and, you know, eye-to-eye contact, it's a thing that can't be taken away, even if, you know, even if tyranny tries to take away our connections or control who we can talk to on the internet or, you know, listen in on all of our calls or whatever they want to do, all that stuff that we despise so much. If we can build these connections without, you know, that are real connections, not electrons flying through space or flying through wires, but there's really something human about that goes beyond anything that you can do with wires.
Yeah, and I not just the therapeutic angle and the camaraderie and everything else. It is not entirely outside the realm of possibility that there may come a time where you need to depend upon somebody that you've met through these circles and somebody that you know is trustworthy. There may come a time where it's necessary for a Liberty Underground Railroad,
yeah,
if you know what I mean.
Absolutely, and I think we're seeing seeds of that already. You know, there's been some prominent people that were doing really important things that have been snatched up by the government and hauled in front of judges and all of that nonsense. And there's a lot of, you know, a lot of foot stomping and a lot of people that are upset and sign waving and they're going down to courthouses and they're doing stuff that's supposed to be done. I mean, you got to do this stuff. And there's posting things on the internet and on Facebook and Twitter and all these things like this. And all that's good. But it would have been better if we would have been able to take, you know, a person X, who we're not going to name anybody specific, but if person X being highly suspected of doing some terrible crime where there was no actual victim of that crime, and if he could have just evaporated or she could have just evaporated into our community and then popped up at another location, think about the value of that rather than to having their fate decided by 12 people who were not bright enough to get out of jury duty and a judge who doesn't know how to use his own email.
and not to mention 12 people that probably are going to say, well, that person must be guilty. He or she is in court.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, I don't want to get into a big tyranny thing here. We're right at the end of the show, but it's just a lot better to be able to have systems that we can work around that kind of tyranny and not have to deal with it. Lou, we're going to take off. Thanks for taking some time out of your day and doing the show with me.
It's always a pleasure, Ben. I get a big kick out of talking with you and being here on the Fiends. For more Freedom Fiends, go to freedomfiends.com. And don't forget to check the show notes for this episode. And I will put the links to those events in there. Come on out. I'm looking to meet more people. And worms.
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 Freedom Fiends.